Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. As I was reading and searching for the message for tonight, I came across this psalm, and one verse in particular drew me to it. Verse 19, Psalm 31. Verse 19, it says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Oh, how great is thy goodness. When I read that, I fell in love with the line. I fell in love with the word "oh" at the beginning, stressing the greatness, stressing the goodness. Oh, how great is thy goodness. How great is his goodness. It can't be fathomed. It just cannot be fathomed. I read something like this, and I think, how? I really do. How? When he knows our sin more deeply than we do, I know my sin more deeply than you know my sin. And you know your sin more deeply than I know your sin. But he knows our sin more deeply than all of us combined. And when I think about the fact that he knows me for what I am, I'm serious. I think, how? How? How could he be good to us in a way that is beyond comprehension? How? Knowing what I do know of my sin, I wouldn't even be good to me. If I had to give an honest judgment concerning what I see in my flesh, if I had to be fair and just and right, I would not be good to me. Seeing how far I am removed from his holiness, he is so holy, he is so pure, I am so not. Just seeing how far, it's just east from the west, I'm separated from his holiness, his righteousness. I sincerely confessed my unworthiness. And I sincerely confess my amazement in reading and entering into this. It's hard to fathom how he could be good to us. Good to us. It's impossible to fathom the greatness of his goodness. Oh, how great is thy goodness, thy kindness, your favor, your grace. Goodness means grace. It means gift. Your bestowment. How great is your goodness? Verse 19 says, "Which thou hast laid up." That means stored up, treasured up, set aside, reserved. That's what man tries to do with his savings accounts and retirement account. But it's all small, it's unreliable, it's unstable, and it's temporary. What God does is forever. That's what Solomon wrote. Whatever he does is forever. The greatness of his goodness that he has laid up, this wonderful, glorious, great goodness that he has laid up, reserved, and set aside, is so great, and it's so vast, there is no possible way it could ever be exhausted. I love the thought of that. There's no way that his goodness could ever be used up. No way it could be emptied. The kindness is so great The favor is so great, the gift, the grace is so great, it could never possibly be diminished. Never. It is incorruptible, undefiled, and it'll never fade away. Now, who has the Lord laid up this great goodness for? Well, verse 19 says, it's laid up for them that fear Him. Laid up for them that fear Thee. That brings great comfort to me because I believe I'm included in that. I fear Him. I do. I fear Him. I know you do too. All of God's people fear Him. All of God's people reverence Him. All of God's people bow to Him. And fear standing before His judgment throne outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We fear that. And if that's us, then we can take comfort in this right here. Verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought." That means worked. The work that you worked. How was that goodness laid up for them that fear Him? That goodness, that grace, that favor, it all had to be worked for. It all had to be earned. Who did the work? The one we're trusting in did all the work. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God's sacrificed Lamb did the work. He did the work. And He finished the work. And that finished work is the only hope we have. And that's why we're trusting in Him. You know that? His finished work is the only hope we have. And that's why we're trusting in Him. Verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men." Now, I did a little search, a scripture search, on three words in this verse. When I read these three words, it just made me want to search this little phrase. Great is Thy. David said, "Great is Thy goodness. Great is Thy." Let me show you two more scriptures that declare His greatness with those three words specifically. Turn with me to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 13 says, "Great is Thy mercy." In Psalm 31, David said, "Great is Thy goodness. Great is Your grace. Great is Your grace." And here he says, "Great is Your mercy." That's why His goodness can be so great to us. That's how His goodness can be so great to us. It's because His mercy is so great to us. Mercy is amazing. It's the only way I know to say it. Mercy is amazing. It is an amazing gift from God to His people. Mercy. It was His mercy that wrought the work that brought the grace. It was His grace that gave the gift that brought the mercy. You can look at it however you want to look at it. But His mercy, God pouring out His judgment on Christ. Whenever you think about that, do you think, why? How? the spotless holy Lamb of God. God pouring His judgment on Christ instead of us, all who have been caused to fear Him. Outside of God creating a fear in a sinner for Christ, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't fear Him. But every soul that has been given a heart to fear Him and to trust to Him and to look to Him and hope in Him, God pouring out His judgment on Christ instead of us, that was His mercy to us. And great was His mercy. It was a great outpouring. It required a great outpouring. And it was His great mercy to us. Verse 12 right here says, I will praise Thee, O Lord. You see that capital L, lowercase O-R-D? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify Thy name forevermore. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Why would He do that? Why would He do that? Do you honestly not stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love us, sinners, condemned, unclean? How? Why such mercy? Why such grace? Why would He do that for us? Why would He do that for us? Our last scripture with those three words will answer that. Turn with me, if you would, to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3, look at the last half of verse 23. It says, I'm going to wait. I hear too many pages turning. Let everybody get there. It says, great is Thy faithfulness. Does that not warm your heart? Why would He show such mercy and grace to us? Why would He do that? It's because great is His faithfulness. He promised to do it for His people, therefore He did it. Because He could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself. He said, I promise on my own name, for my name's sake, I'll do it. Therefore, He did it. He endured the affliction. He endured the misery. He endured the wormwood. He endured the gall. His soul still has them in remembrance and is quieted in Him. After all of that wormwood and misery and suffering and gall and affliction, every time He remembers that, His soul is appeased. His wrath is appeased. That's what verse 19 and verse 20 says right here. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Therefore we, His people, say in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. This is why I have so much hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. How much mercy does the Lord have for me? Don't you wish more people would ask that question? How much mercy does the Lord have for me? And don't you wish you could tell more people? It's infinite. It's infinite. It's never ending. It starts over brand new every single morning. You ever go to bed at night thinking, oh, wretched man that I am once again? Well, the next morning, It's all covered in mercy. Just start so you'll never exhaust it. You'll never empty it. It's the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. That's the greatest news. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Oh, how great is his goodness. Great is his mercy. Great is his faithfulness. It's so great, it makes us want to tell everybody about it. It makes you want to go tell everybody about it. It is so great. It makes you want to go tell everybody. Turn with me back to Psalm 31. This goodness and mercy and faithfulness of the Lord to us has been recorded in this psalm. That goodness, that mercy, that faithfulness, that has been recorded in this psalm. And what I want us to do is read it and see it. This won't take long. But see if the Lord will make this to be a blessing to you, okay? This declares the work that our Lord wrought to save our souls. David said this. He meant it as he was crying this. David wrote these words. He meant it. We say this, but we also hear the voice of our Lord in everything that he endured for us in the garden, on the cross, in the grave. Do we not hear his voice in verse 5? He said, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Do we not hear his voice in that? Just before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Listen to his voice in this, okay? Listen to the garden, the cross, the grave. Verse 1, this is our Lord speaking. He says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Envision him in the garden as the sin of his people was being pressed into him. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness while all of this sin is being pressed into me. Bow down thine ear to hear me. Deliver me speedily. O Lord, if it be possible that this cup pass from me. I'm sorrowful unto death. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Listen to the cross right here. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regarded lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. I'll do this for the joy set before me, the mercy that's coming through this right here. I'll be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. All of my bones, my people, bone of my bone, we were all consumed in him. That fire of God's judgment, it consumed us in the sacrifice of him. And it's all because he took our sin and our sorrows and made them his very own. My iniquity. Verse 11, he said, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. Now listen to the grave. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Now listen to the resurrection. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Listen to that ascension. Blessed be the Lord, he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. That's glorious, isn't it? That's just glorious. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Great is thy mercy. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. That's our salvation. And it makes me want to go tell everybody. It makes us want to go tell everybody. It's so glorious, it makes us want to tell how great things the Lord has done for us. I want to read this to you in closing. This is an excerpt from one of Brother Henry's messages. And Tony handed me this years ago. And this is my first time reading it. But this is just wonderful. I thought about this whenever I was thinking, this is so great. It just makes you want to go tell everybody. This is from a TV broadcast. So he's preaching to the general public of Ashland. He said, I was down in Mexico last week visiting with some missionaries, and I had the privilege of preaching in several pueblos there. I went out to one little village, a 2 or 3 hour drive over a dirty, rough, and rocky road. There were some people knitting like their ancestors did 1,000 years ago. They were grinding their corn with rocks and cooking on rocks outside. They were living in little mud huts with thatch roofs and dirt floors and sleeping in hammocks. They had a group of believers there, a church. I preached to 70 or 80 people there in that little church that they'd built. Not with American dollars, nor with somebody putting a church up and financing it. They did it themselves, and it took them 4 years to do it, but they laid every rock and every stone and every piece of roofing, and they did it themselves. I talked to these different believers through an interpreter. I preached the gospel through an interpreter. These believers were going to other villages, telling about Christ, preaching the gospel. They were going to these villages, and one of them was 6 hours long one way. They walked 6 hours one way to preach and 6 hours back. They asked us to help them to get a motorcycle so they wouldn't have to walk so far. They said, but whether you get the motorcycle or not, we're going on and telling men about Christ. We can't help but tell men about the Lord. He's done so much for us, and we're so grateful for His grace and His mercy. His grace is so great. His mercy is so great. His faithfulness is so great. That's our salvation. That's our message. That's our glory. We glory in Him, don't we? Let's go tell everybody. Let's all stand together.